Welcome to World Ocean Radio. I'm Peter Neal, director of the World Ocean Observatory. Over the years, environmentalists have turned to animals to help communicate the urgency and meaning of their cause. Whales, remember Free Willy? Seals, images of slaughtered pups during the annual native harvest in Canada. Turtles, mothers laying eggs on Mexican beaches before dying at the hands of poachers. Birds, their necks wrapped in six-pack plastic, stomachs filled with pop tops and oil slime. Polar bears, alone on diminishing islands of ice, or swimming aimlessly where there is no ice to be found. In every case, the point has been to connect the critical impact of pollution, irresponsible harvest, climate, and other environmental degradation to human emotion. If we can feel the pain of these animals, we will therefore be moved beyond distraction, beyond reason, to counter these impacts, typically through contribution of funds to the national organizations working to solve these specific problems. Every day my email box is full of such solicitations, playing on my feelings, my guilt, my sentiment, in a simplistic, perhaps cynical equation. Does it work? Have the problems gone away? Are the organizations closing up shop because there is no need for their work anymore? Is their success to be defined only when they stop asking? Sadly, not so. The solicitation is unending. I'm finding a different equation for success, one that links the efforts of small, local, and very underfunded groups of mostly volunteers to solutions. Let me give you an example from the Indian River Lagoon in Florida, where in 2008 and again in 2010, dolphins were found to be dying in unusual numbers from emaciation, respiratory problems, brain lesions, and skin-eating fungal infections. Local investigators found that the lagoon was a toxic soup, not from an oil spill or industrial waste, but from excessive concentrations of phosphorus and nitrogen that were depriving the dolphins of oxygen and poisoning their systems. The Environmental Protection Agency estimated the lagoon was receiving more than 400,000 pounds of phosphorus per year, twice its capacity to process, and 3 million pounds of nitrogen per year, over 1 million in excess, along with elevated levels of bacteria, metals, and mercury, corrupting the marine environment and resulting in measurable increase in dolphin mortality. Where is this stuff coming from? Suburban fertilizers, vast amount of which are applied locally to everything from lawns to nurseries to golf courses to vegetable gardens, altering the watersheds dramatically through seemingly benign home and recreational uses. Most fertilizers are applied in excessive amounts, agricultural use typically increasing nutrient loading by 100%. However, the same land for suburban dwellings increases nutrient loading by 500%, depositing much of the excess into local sewers and streams through irrigation, spring and summer rains. To address this situation, many cities and towns, and some states, are beginning to enact ordinances that restrict or limit phosphorus-based fertilizer at the source to mitigate demonstrable adverse ecologic and economic impacts locally and downstream in estuaries and coastal waters. Subsequent studies have shown that such regulations does reduce concentrations and does result in less negative environmental consequences, enough to attract the attention of the Florida State Senate that is now attempting to undo such county and municipal efforts and controls, presumably in the name of golf course operators and the greenest lawn purveyors who could care less about the dolphins. The partners against this regressive state legislative effort include Indian Riverkeeper, the Rivers Coalition, Ocean Resources and Conservation Association, the Marine Resources Council of East Florida, Florida Oceanographic Society, and the South Florida Audubon Society, all small environmental groups striving locally to make a difference. They are assisted by the Ocean River Institute, based in Cambridge, Mass., that raises funds and provides support services to such groups engaged in serious environmental issues at the local level, the success of which has important implication for collective efforts in areas elsewhere where similar situations and challenges occur. To learn more about ORI and its other projects, go to www.oceanriver.org. Emaciation, respiratory problems, brain lesions, skin-eating fungal infections. Are we immune from such things, from the same causes? We play our games and take pride in our homes, but are we so blind that we cannot see we also live in a toxic soup? How many whales, seals, turtles, birds, polar bears, and canaries in the coal mine will it take before we get it? That by willfully polluting our waters and poisoning these animals, we are polluting and poisoning ourselves. We will discuss these issues and more in future editions of World Ocean Radio.
World Ocean Radio is a project of the World Ocean Observatory, online at www.thew2o.net. World Ocean Radio is produced in association with WERU Community Radio, Blue Hill, Maine.